Sometimes we just turn ourselves loose, don't we? I mean, we just think up some wickedness in our minds, roll it around for a while, and then think that it never matters that we did. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." When God saw the wickedness of man on the earth in the days of Noah, he saw something in the hearts of people. The Bible says that he saw that the imagination of the thoughts of hearts was only evil continually. Genesis 6, verse 5. Well, how much of your imagination dwells on evil? When the Bible talks about the heart of humans, it is talking about what a person thinks or imagines. Speaking of the men, Jesus said that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Matthew 5:28. Well, evil imagination is real, and it has real consequences. In this case, evil imagination has a label, the label of adultery. And so it behooves every man and woman to think about what they are thinking. Purity of heart probably means several things. Surely one of the things it means is to keep the mind free of wickedness. Well, it is a continuous fight that we must wage with Satan. God predicted that it was a hard fight indeed. When Noah and his family came out of the ark, they offered a sacrifice to God. And so it is written that, "And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." Genesis 8:21-22. Well, purity of heart may also have something to do with the willpower of a human being. The human heart is the seat of willpower. Jesus said, "If any man will do his will," that is God's will, "he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." John 7:17. Those people who heard Jesus preach were trying to figure out whether Jesus was really speaking God's word, the doctrine, the teaching of God. And so Jesus said, if any one of them could really desire in his heart or her heart to do God's will, then he or she would recognize God's doctrine when they heard it. Friends, if a person wills to do his own will, then he or she will never listen to the will of God. Willpower is strong in human beings. Humans usually figure out a way to do what they want to do. That's the same thing as saying that humans usually do what they will to do. Human desire and human willpower usually run in the same stream bed. That's right. And so, purity of heart is to will just one thing. Jesus said, it ought to be God and his kingdom. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," he said, "and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Matthew 6:33. When Saul, the first king of ancient Israel, arrogantly disobeyed God's will, God looked for somebody to take Saul's place. He found the one he wanted in a boy by the name of David. It is said that God raised up David to be their king, to whom he also gave testimony and said, "I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." Acts 13:22. Well, God still looks for people who have a heart like his, a heart that will fulfill all God's will. That's right. Are you that person? Are you ready to turn over your will to God? Well, purity of heart, neighbor, is to will one thing, and that is to serve God. Did you know, friends, that God honors the integrity of a sinner's heart? Yes, he does. It's an unusual story. It's found in Genesis chapter 20. Abraham journeyed down to a place called Gerar. There was a king there by the name of Abimelech. Abraham introduced his wife, Sarah, to the king as his sister, as he did also in the land of Egypt on one occasion. Well, Sarah must have been a very beautiful woman, and Abraham was afraid that Abimelech might have him killed if he knew that Sarah was his wife. Well, sure enough, Abimelech wanted Sarah to be his wife. And so he came, and he took Sarah to himself. Well, God came to Abimelech in a dream at night, and he said to him, "Behold, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife." Now, Abimelech had not approached her, and so he said, "Lord, will you kill an innocent people? Did he not himself say to me, 'She is my sister'? And she herself said, 'He is my brother.' In the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands, I have done this." Genesis 20, 3 through 5. Well, then God said to this king in another dream, "Yes, I know that you have done this in the integrity of your heart, and it was I who kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now then, return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, so that he will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not return her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours." Genesis 20, 6 through 7. Now, friends, God did this because there was no evil intent in that man's heart. He saved that man from sin and from death, and all of his family and all of his kingdom, in fact, from death. Why? Because he saw the man's heart, that he was innocent. God protected also Sarah, even when Abraham would not. God had plans for Sarah, and that plan was not going to be interrupted by this king of Gerar or by Abraham's weakness. God looks for willingness in the heart of a man. He looks for willingness in the heart of a man, woman, boy, or girl. But you know, he allows us the freedom to develop that willingness. That's right. God spoke to Moses and said, "Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering." Exodus 25, 1 and 2. Well, 10 chapters later, it is written that everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing. And they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service, and for the holy garments. Exodus 35, verse 21. Well, when God is looking for a true-hearted man or a true-hearted woman, he looks for unselfish love in the heart. He commanded the ancient Israelites, "You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor, and not bear sin against because of him. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Leviticus 19, verses 15 to 18. Well, the Apostle Peter wrote, "Finally, all of you, have a unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing." 1 Peter 3, 8 through 9. Well, the Apostle John wrote, "If anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." 1 John 3, 17 to 18. Yes, friends, when God looks for a true-hearted man or a true-hearted woman, he looks for unselfish love in the heart. Furthermore, the Bible teaches that God tests
human hearts. That's right. God said that the reason he made the children of Israel to wander in the wilderness was to test their hearts. Moses said, "You shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." Deuteronomy 8:2-3. Friends, have you learned to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord? Well, what kind of tests do you think God is giving you? Maybe God is working on you so that you will become a true-hearted, whole-hearted child of His. Well, when God is looking for a man or a woman after His own heart, He looks for an encourager. Yes, indeed. Moses warned the tribes of Gad and Reuben that they better not discourage the hearts of the people of Israel. You see, the tribes of Gad and Reuben wanted to inherit their portion of the promised land on the eastern bank of the Jordan River. In other words, that portion of the land that had already been conquered. Well, Moses asked those tribes, "Shall your brethren go to war? And shall ye set here? Why discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them?" Well, the Reubenites and the Gadites did not want to be guilty of discouraging the hearts of the rest of the people. And so they consented and said they would cross Jordan with everyone else and help to take all the land. And then, after the war was over, they could then return to the eastern bank and call that home. Now Moses agreed to this arrangement. Friends, you know it's a serious matter when you discourage the hearts of someone else. The Holy Spirit warns heads of families, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Ephesians 6:4. Well, wrath is a matter of the heart. Parents have the hearts of their children in their hands. People, are you taking good care of those young hearts? God is looking for a true-hearted and whole-hearted man and woman. Are you that person?